On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hold on as tight as you can possibly...
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon, good evening, good... My name is indeed Ron Van Dam. That's part of my name. A lot of people call me a lot of adjectives after that, but basically, that's where we start. Hey, congratulations to the married couple. Prince William and... I don't know what the hell her name is. Kate Middleton. Although they're married, so she's Kate Williams. Sounds like a country singer. And now on the Grand Ole Opry stage, Kate Williams. I took my feet and I put them in my dog. You know? And my trailer went down the side of the mountain. Kate Williams, ladies and gentlemen. Kate Middleton. And Prince William, who rode in on a horse, the horse he rode in on, he's a prince. And she laid in a puddle of mud, and she was a frog. And Prince William came over and kissed her gently on her butt cheek, and all of a sudden she turned into a princess. I'm sorry. But I don't get it. I don't understand this monarchy butterfly thing. I don't get it. I don't understand. I know that when kids are little children and they're lying in bed and a lot of the fairy tales involve princes and princesses and big witches with moles on their face. The witches with the moles on their face, that I get. That I've seen that. Oh, I've seen that in Kmart. But the prince and the princess thing, I always thought it was just a story. And then to find out that there are real grown-up people acting the parts of prince and princesses, and they really think they are. That blows my fucking mind. And then there are ladies walking around thinking that they're queens. You're not queens. You know better than anybody else. As a matter of fact, you're a lot worse than most people. Queen Elizabeth, what the hell's with you, honey? Oh, I'm a blue blood. Honey, you're a red blood like everybody else. You're part of a pathetically inbred family that wears a lot of clothes and clown collars. And I don't think you understand how normal you are. Actually, you're subnormal because there's something wrong with you. You go through your whole life just like throwing into everybody's face how rich you are and how your bloodline is so thick. And what's wrong with you, man? God! And then there's other people that call themselves queens, and they're not. Like Queen Latifah. Honey, not even close. not even close to what you think is a queen. You're shaped more like a queen olive sitting on the shelf at Market Basket in a big jar. That's all you are. What's this Queen Latifah? What's your real name? Susan? I mean, come on. Becky? Queen Latifah. Well, I am King. I am King Ron. I am King Ron, king of the talk show hosts. I come from a bloodline of people with a lot of blood. Oh, in my family, people had blood flowing all over the place. We were full of blood. Queen Latifah, my ass. My booty. I'm sorry, it's booty is what you should be saying. She has a large booty. I don't even know what the fuck that is. Queen Latifah. I don't get all that crap. I don't get excited about it. And the reason I bring it up is quite obviously, I assume that you know. Maybe you don't because you're less excited about it than I could even be less excited about it. But Kate Middleton and Harry Truman there, they actually had another baby. This is baby number two. What a feat of magic that is for two people to have a baby. Why, no one does that. And but see, they're special. When they have a baby, the entire country goes Lady Gaga on them. They have people announcing things, and it's a big deal, and people... I've had two babies, not out of me, but out of the person who had the babies, and the fanfare was kind of more wiping the sweat from her face, really, more than anything, to be honest with you. Made a few phone calls and went home and had a pizza. I mean, seriously, this fanfare is incredible, and I'm not jealous. I'm not jealous. What are you talking about? I'm jealous. I'm not jealous. I just think it's stupid. It's pompous. I think that's why they invented the word pompous for these people. The baby's name is Charlotte Elizabeth Diana. Honoring, I think, every single woman's name there is. Of course, Princess Diana. That's part of the name. Elizabeth, Queen Elizabeth, I assume. And Charlotte, don't know. Somebody named Charlotte somewhere. I have no idea. I mean, I'm sure it's significant. I will claim to be ignorant in the Charlotte sense. So Charlotte Elizabeth Diana. I hope she never goes into business because it won't fit on the business card. But to be honest with you, she'll never have to work a day in her life. Because we've got that blue blood going on, baby. She is fourth in line to the throne. Build another bathroom. In a far off land, somewhere, there lived a prince named William. He was a mighty prince. He served in many wars. Yes, he was able to shoot down airplanes, kill a fox with a bullet, and yet he could not find his love. He was a man of mystery, intrigue, but not a man of love. He combed the countryside with a large comb, looking for the lady of his life, but it eluded him. Finally, one day, he was walking out in the field with his musket when he came across a frog. It was lying in the road, hit by an automobile. Prince Harry, William, whatever the fuck his name is, he bent down over the lovely frog and said, "I am so unlucky at love. I shall kiss the frog because I have a fetish for kissing frogs. His lips touch the lips of the frog. Ech, yuck. The frog squirmed. The prince said, I am blowing life into the frog. I haven't blown a frog in a long time, as much as I enjoy blowing frogs. The frog moved, it twitched, it made various movements of life. The prince stood to his feet, which is what he stood to, looked at the frog and said, my God, something's happening here. I feel my penis moving. And he looked down at that frog, and the frog turned into a lovely woman that became his wife. That's pretty pathetic. It's Prince William, not Harry. Harry's his brother. William and Harry. Yeah, nice. Anyway, yeah, so then they have a baby, and it's everybody is like going Lady Gaga over this baby. And yeah, she's fourth to the throne. Oh, my God. Honey, may I call you honey? You ain't never going to see that throne, because that ain't going to happen. Talk to the throne, girl, because you ain't going to see it. You're fourth to the throne. So many of your relatives have to die before you even see that throne. Ain't going to happen. You'll never be a ruler of the kingdom ever, 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 ever. Everybody, basically, it has to be the zombie apocalypse and you're the only one left. Then maybe you'll sit on that throne. Or maybe, like, everybody's in the pool outside at the palace and no one's sitting in the throne at the time. It's as close as you're going to get to touching the throne, honey. So you're fourth in line. Good luck, man. That's like going to the motor vehicle department to renew your registration and your number is never called. That's what it's going to feel like, Charlotte, Elizabeth, Diana, Minkin, Crassen, Bluten, Floatin, Booten, Sootin, Booten, Shootin, Booten, whatever your name is. God. You will be a nobody. I mean, you'll never have a job. You'll never have an identity other than what they've pinned to you. You'll always just be tagging along as fourth in line. You'll feel like the ugliest member of the Brady Bunch. Never getting any speaking lines. Very, very little on-camera time. You're going to be the Susan Lucci of the royal world. You will be really screwed. You're going to be going to church a lot. Someone will be holding your hand, and that's all you're really ever going to be doing. You'll make appearances. Maybe you'll write a book about how sucky it is to be who you are. I don't know, but you're screwed for life. Yeah, you'll have a lot of money and stuff, and you'll never have to worry about anything. And maybe someday, if they let you, you'll marry somebody, and you'll have your own fairy tale thing, but I don't know. I don't think it's a wonderful life. I don't think it is. The mentality of the human being that finds this to me totally fascinating is the kind of person who wants to have a fairy tale wedding, the kind of person who was read bedtime stories when they were like little children, because in the scheme of things, when you grow up, you're supposed to kind of get a clue that there's no tooth fairy. And then you find out, well, there is a tooth fairy, and you're supposed to feel bad for them that, like, they're, you know, like, what's with you? It's a horrible, horrible thing. I don't know if William and Kate are going to have another baby, but you know what? I so much don't care. I don't care who has babies. If they're part of my family, I'll rejoice in the babyship. But if someone comes up to me and says, hey, we just had a baby, I don't break out the trumpets, honey. I say, oh, my God, you know, a lot of people can do this. Some people just roll over in bed the wrong way, and this happens. So your accomplishment, I mean, man, you've brought life into the world. You've put the breath of life into something, and you've housed it in your what do you call that area that women have where they house the baby? The storage locker of life, the oven. Do you have something in the oven? Yes, I have a baby in the oven. Oh, that's calling child services time. You don't put babies in the oven. Well, I have to keep it warm. I'm incubating. Not in the oven, babe. It's the microwave. Everybody knows that. Man. Crazy. I was thinking of going into the embryonic fluid business. I went online and I realized nobody's really selling embryonic fluid at all. It's something that everybody has when you're having a baby. Everybody kind of talks about it, but nobody really sells it. So what I would do is open up an embryonic fluid online store or sell it to Bath and Baby, Baby and Beyond. What do you call that store where they have all stuff for babies? Babies R Us. Yeah, I think it's Babies Are You. Babies. I would sell it in like little 3-ounce jars, embryonic fluid, and call it, I don't know, I'll name it after myself, Ron's Embryonic Fluid. And I think I can make a fortune. I don't know what you would use it for. I think if you add it to the hinges on your door, then your door will open easier. Embryonic fluid is also wonderful to take those scratches off your car. It also can be used as an energy drink. embryonic fluid would be used for anything, basically anything you want. That toast seems a little dry. Here, try some of Ron's embryonic fluid. Tasty. Yeah, I don't know. And there's no sugar added. No sugar added whatsoever. And it's gluten-free. It's gluten-free. I don't give a fuck what it does. The fact is that it's gluten-free. Oh, my God. It's gluten-free. Wow. I think gluten-free means that there's no wheat in or eggs or something in my embryonic fluid. Let's say a woman is having a baby and she's a little low on embryonic fluid. They can tell you that when you pull into the gas station. Yeah, you're a little low on your transmission fluid and your oil is low. And my God, you have absolutely no embryonic fluid whatsoever. Here, try one of Ron's embryonic fluid containers. I think it's big. I think it's big. All right, raise your hand. Who wants to go in on this with me? Who wants to go in on it? No hands? Okay. All right. Entire market for myself. All right. That's enough. I don't even know what the hell's going on here. That's enough. By the way, congratulations for listening to this. I want to tell you something. A lot of people wouldn't do this, wouldn't have the balls, and certainly wouldn't tell other people if they're listening to this. But yeah, this is weird, isn't it? Yeah. But it's our little weird thing. Oh, that sounded really weird. That sounded almost awkward and uncomfortable. Speaking of awkward and uncomfortable, I'm going to speak to my first guest right now. And who better to speak to than and Vicki Lawrence? What? Ron, you are the king of segues. You go from talking about the royal couple, which is like blasphemy, man. I mean, people are going to show up in red coats and take you away because you were talking about the royal couple in a very disparaging manner, like you didn't care. And that is just not allowed. And then you started talking about bottling your own embryonic fluid. Where you're going to get this stuff from, I have no idea. But you started talking about that, and now you're segueing into Vicki Lawrence. Yeah, and someday you'll understand the connection between the three. I don't know what it is right now, But there is one, and I'm going to find out what it is. Anyway, Vicki Lawrence is going to join us now. She was on Mama's Family and the Carol Burnett Show, and she's been on game shows and all this kind of stuff. Nice girl. It's the second time we're talking to her. We talked to her once before when Tori was here. You know Tori. Yeah, you know Tori. I mean, I don't even have to, you know who she is. And Tori took she took issue with Vicki Lawrence because Vicki Lawrence says she has some type of hive thing going on, and she goes to an allergist, and Tori said, okay, so like that's an allergy, and Vicki like argued and said, no, it's not an allergy, it's something that's unexplained, and Tori said, well, you can take Allegra or something, and I think you're fine. I don't know. I don't know how the conversation went. You have to talk to Tori about it. But anyway, this interview was booked for us here, and I didn't know that Vicki Lawrence was going to be doing this. So we did this twice. And nice lady, nice lady. So let's listen to what she has to say, if you would, please. A lot of people have this particular, oh, I don't know if you call it a defect. That's very, no, that's a horrible thing to say. So if you're sick or you have some type of condition, you're defective, then we're all defective. Then we're all defective. Listen, I'm arguing with myself now. Let's say hello to Vicki Lawrence before I get into so much trouble it's not funny. Vicki... Vicki. Everybody knows Vicki Lawrence from the Carol Burnett Show, Mama's Family, game shows, host, producer, everything. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing, Ron?
I'm doing rather well today. Thank you. We're talking about... are you in California, by the way?
I'm not. I'm in Atlanta.
Oh, interesting. Different. Okay. That's different.
I will be in California tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Because I'm concerned about where you are all the time, obviously. Oh, that sounds...
My husband said the same thing last night. He said, where exactly are you?
And that's worse when he says it than I do. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. We're talking about CIU. What is CIU?
CIU is a form of chronic hives, and it is a mouthful, chronic being that it has lasted for at least 6 weeks or more, sometimes years. Idiopathic, I like to think of the root word as idiot, in that the doctor has no answer for you as to why it's happening. And urticaria is a fancy doctor word for hives.
Okay.
And I was diagnosed about 4 years ago, with this condition, and come to find out there are like 1.5 million of us in this country who are dealing with this and trying to find answers. And so that's why I got involved with this campaign, CIU and you.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Now,
Yeah.
Is this an advanced form of allergy?
It's not an allergy. There's no, it's idiopathic. They don't know why. I think when you break out in hives, which I did, you immediately assume that you've done something wrong. You ate something wrong, or you changed your detergent, or there's something you've done.
Right.
And you don't get a diagnosis of CIU for at least 6 weeks of not being able to get rid of those hives, at which point the doctor will tell you, I think you could scratch test all you want. I don't think you'll find an answer for it. So I think the hardest thing for CIU patients to deal with is the notion that it's not your fault. It's not anything you're doing. You know, because we all want answers. And if the doctor tells you I don't have an answer, a lot of people are probably on to the next doctor. But there is not an answer for this. There are treatments, and I was lucky that I had a really good allergist who knew about CIU, and we were able to get my hives under control and find a treatment that worked for me. But I've had a chance through this program to talk to a lot of people that have been looking for answers literally for years.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I had a chance to sort of throw my hives in the ring. And,
oh, cute.
And,
that's cute.
I was approached by the Allergy and Asthma Foundation of America, and they said, we're going to put this website together. Just it's an educational website, really.
Right.
And it's totally made sponsible by Genentech and Novartis. So a lot of really good people that know what they're talking about. A lot of great information on there. It's just simply CIUNU.com.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that either my face or, you know, the acronym CIU will get out there, and people will, you know, it'll be a light bulb for them. And they'll go, wait a minute, I saw something about this, or I read something about this.
Or
I heard Ron talking about it one morning.
That would be the reason that people would know.
Could be.
It's the only reason. So it's handled by an allergy and asthma specialist, but it's not that, but that's as close to a specialist as we can get with this, I assume.
It is an allergist or a dermatologist that is going to help these sources out.
Right.
And it's really important. And, you know, and that information will be on the website. It's important to get to that doctor.
Okay.
That, and hopefully one that, you know, is aware of CIU and knows how to hopefully help you treat it.
Right.
And I think, you know, there are downloadables on the website so you can track your hives.
Because,
you know, the way the medical system is nowadays, Ron, you might not get to the right doctor for several weeks, so you want to just be armed with pictures and a diary and a lot of good information so that you don't waste your time with him, and he either knows what he's talking about or he doesn't.
That's right. See, that's what this is all about, so that people know that this condition does exist, because otherwise you do go through months and months of testing, and you end up in the same place, but you've gone through all of this. You need somebody who's educated. Who knows that this is a possibility, and when a patient is it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when I was diagnosed, I got on, you know, I of course started Googling CIU, and there wasn't any information out there. There were people asking questions, but there weren't any good answers or any directional help. So, and I just feel like if there are 1.5 million of us, there should be some place of advocacy for everybody in this day and age. So I said, heck yeah, let's put this together and get the word out there.
Very cool. But it is treatable, even though it's perhaps not quote-unquote curable. It's treatable, which is good. It's wonderful.
Exactly right. Yes, I am today hive-free. Thank you
All right, cool. All right.
And hopefully, you know, it will stay that way.
I'm sure it will.
My doctor said you look good. Hopefully, knock wood, this is it, you know.
You have a doctor that says you look good? That's wonderful.
Well, I mean, you know, my skin.
Oh. My doctor
I'll tell
doesn't
you what. The hives are not cute.
Yeah. Well, I assume that. Yeah, I mean, I know, but it's treatable, and that's my doctor every time I complain about something, my doctor says that's cuz you're getting old. And then I leave. Actually,
I am kind of old to be going through to be diagnosed with CIU. It happens more often in I think your 40s is more common, 40s, 50s,
wow.
And more often to women than not. He said, and I said to him, of course, it's more women than not. Of course, everything is more women.
Yeah, because there's more of you. That's why there are more women than men, and you live longer anyway. So that's I don't want to get into that. Did you ever? Why does this happen to people? Is it genetic? Is it something that festers when you're younger? Why does this happen? Does anybody know?
See, and I'm going to stand corrected. You're more often diagnosed with CIU between the ages of 20 and 40, so I am old, but I am an overachiever, if nothing else, Ron.
Yeah.
There is no idiopathic. There is no known cause for it.
No known reason for it.
There's no rhyme or reason to the whole thing.
All right. Well, we know about it now, and we know where to go to get more information. Give me that website again. I believe it's CIU and U.
It's CIU and U, all spelled out, CIUANDYOU.com.
Hey,
and there's a lot of great information on there. My whole story's on there, and you can download stuff and hopefully feel like you've found a place where you can help yourself get some answers.
Good. All right. Now, I'm going to just slip this in quickly for your fans. What's in the works for you? Can we see you anywhere? What you doing?
Oh yeah, I'm on the road all the time, Ron. I feel like I live in an airplane. but the thing to do would be to go to my website, which is VickiLawrence.com, and there's a schedule on there. You can click on that schedule and see if I'm going to be in your hood, and come on out, and we will laugh a lot. We will not talk about hives.
Okay, or whatever. Hey, Vicki, it's always fun to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It's great to talk to you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too.
Bye, Vic. Bye-bye. Vicki Lawrence, they're from the thing, the show of the Vicki and the Carol Burnett with the thing there. I think my new favorite word, even though it's kind of odd, is idiopathic. She used it quite a few times, and every time she did, I got a little tingle. Idiopathic, man. It sounds like you're a pathetic idiot, therefore you're idiopathic. Idiopathic, in her explanation, is something that just happens for no reason whatsoever. There's no explanation for it. It is a pathetic idiot kind of thing. I mean, it is, this disease is a total idiot. It has no reason for being, which is what an idiot is, I guess. I guess an idiot has no reason for being. I don't know, but it's a wonderful, wonderful word, if I understand it correctly, and I'm sure I don't. Man, it's the idiopathic blues, baby.
That one in every seven Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap. Studies show that every 17 seconds in America someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped, and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too, but sometimes he says bad words.
Welcome back to the program. My name is indeed Charlotte Elizabeth Diana Ron. And yes, and I am 10th in line for the throne, and I have got to pee so bad it's not funny. What a great t-shirt. All right, that's another business I'm going to go into. My first business is going to be selling bottles of embryonic fluid, and the other is selling t-shirts that say, I'm fourth in line to the throne, and boy, do I have to pee. Ladies and gentlemen, why I am not filthy rich with these incredible ideas, I do not know. It is far beyond me to figure that out. I mean, these ideas flow. They flow all over the place. At the time of this particular podcast that you're listening to, a Mother's Day is just around the corner. You can almost see it peeking out from around the corner. But you know, and tomorrow we'll get into Mother's Day, the significance thereof, and how you should really make that like your number one holiday, because without a mother, you would have to have been created in a test tube or a petri dish, and I believe there's a holiday for that as well. It's Petri dish day. I don't know the date of it, but I'm sure it's like right after Flag Day. Anyway, Mother's Day is around the corner. But it's not, there's another day, there's Birth Mother's Day, you know, because, yeah, because you have some, a lot of people have a mother and a birth mother. So let's not forget that, and let's talk about that. We have a guest here who is going to, a couple of guests, one is a birth mother, and the other is with an organization that helps birth mothers with what they're psychologically going through. Let's talk to them right now. Chris Fossey is the Senior Vice President of Clinical Operations at Bethany Christian Services, and Stephanie Berendt is a birth mother, and welcome to the program this morning. What part of the country are you in?
Thank you. We're both actually in Michigan.
Oh, that's nice.
Hey, spring is coming.
Yes, it is. Yeah, for everybody, I guess, eventually. Mother's Day is May 10th, but there's a day that's similar to it that's celebrated the day before, and it's called Birth Mother's Day. What is Birth Mother's Day?
So Birth Mother's Day is a day that has been set aside to really recognize the selflessness and the sacrifice that birth mothers go through when making an adoption plan for their child. You know, birth mothers are a mother, but they're a mother in a different form, and I think it's important that they receive their own day, especially because for some birth mothers, you know, not parenting their child may be a little difficult. So it's nice that we've set aside a day to really celebrate them and recognize everything that they've done.
Yeah. Now, this must be a very difficult process to go through. Stephanie, your birth mother, is it rewarding or is it difficult emotionally or both?
Well, I would be lying if I said it wasn't difficult, but it is the most rewarding thing that I have ever done. I have an open adoption, so I know my son very well. I've been watching him grow up for the past 2.5 years.
Good.
And every time I see him, if I could go back and change it, I wouldn't. He's the best thing that's ever happened to me, and I think that his adoptive parents would agree.
Wonderful. Chris, is this the way that it usually turns out, or not everything is an open situation like that?
By far, the majority of adoptions now are fully open, but there are still some adoptions that aren't or that don't maintain the same level of openness, and we work very hard to make sure we work with both birth and adoptive families to continue that
is
plan or even have it grow.
Right.
Because openness is based on relationship.
Is the open aspect of it something that is legally involved here, or just an agreement and an understanding?
It depends on the state. Uh-huh. So in some states, the agreement is legally enforceable. In others, it's not. And the states where it's not, we work very hard with families to help them understand this is like a covenant promise to that birth family. Uh-huh. You've promised to keep them in relationship.
Interesting. And I assume, Stephanie, that a lot of support is needed. One always feels that they're always going through everything by themselves, no matter whether it's being a birth mother or anything. You're the only one. It's only happening to you, and other people don't go through what you're going through. And I guess these support systems are the best things because you realize, no, this is perfectly fine.
Yeah, so that's something that I feel Bethany did a wonderful job with. I had the support of my family, but not every birth mother or couple facing an unplanned pregnancy is fortunate enough to have that. And I think Bethany did a great job kind of holding my hand through the whole process from the moment I found out I was pregnant to post-pregnancy counseling, which I think is overlooked a lot. Birth mothers go through something that's very difficult. Right. And I think that, you know, once the child is born, a lot of people just assume, all right, the process is over.
Uh-huh.
I mean, whether or not you have an open adoption. And I think that birth mothers are feeling a lot once their child has been placed with their adoptive parents. So I think it's just important to recognize that the pregnancy counseling goes beyond the actual birth of the child.
Yeah. May I ask Stephanie, just out of curiosity, how you got involved in this?
Yeah, so I was in college and found myself in an unplanned pregnancy. Mm-hmm. The father of the child did not want to be part of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty instantly, I knew that I wanted to make an adoption plan for my child.
Uh-huh.
I felt that's what was best for me at the time, and I really wanted my child to have a mother and a father.
Right.
And so I found Bethany and just kind of went from there.
And how long ago was that?
That was about 3 years ago now. My son's about 2.5 years old. So
mm-hmm.
I think what made the decision a little easier for me, I actually am adopted, and I've grown up the past 23 years having an open adoption with my birth mother.
I see.
And recently met my birth father. So I've just lived it every day, and I know what a wonderful thing it is.
Okay.
So when I found myself in a similar situation, I knew right away it was what was best for my child.
Wow, so you're a great spokesperson all the way around for this. That's very cool. That's very cool.
Completed two of the three. I plan on adopting in the future, but...
Good. Wow. That's the hat trick, we call it. Chris, is this a nationwide service?
Yes. So Bethany has offices in 36 states, and we can be found by visiting our website at bethany.org, so you can just type in your location and it'll tell you the location nearest you.
Right.
But the idea of Birth Mother's Day is not just a Bethany acknowledgement. It really is throughout the adoption community to try to make sure we continue to support birth moms at a time which can be difficult.
Right. I'm curious, Chris, just as an aside, it says on my sheet here that you're an LMSW and an ACSW. That's a lot of letters. What are those things?
It really just means that in Michigan, I have to be licensed as a social worker. So I have a master's degree, so I'm a licensed master social worker, which is the LMSW.
Yeah.
I also am a member of NASW and have that credential from Academy of Certified Social Workers.
Cool.
That's the ACSW.
Wonderful. We're proud. That's wonderful what you're doing. And I thank the both of you. Where can we get more information about this?
The best place to get more information is just to visit our website at bethany.org. That's BETHANY.org.
Great. Hey, you know, you sound like real happy people, and that's a good thing. So we celebrate this. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
I am so lovable. I am just so lovable. I don't know how else to put it. I'm just so lovable. I am intrigued usually by people's titles and things. Not royalty. That sucks to me. But I'm intrigued by these letters that go after a person's name as if they're doctors or lawyers or they have some kind of degree or license. I think she was an LOT and a POMPT, and nobody knows what the hell those letters mean ever. They never know, but they never ask either. Oh, you're an LOMNFPOT. Wow, you must have been through years of school. You must be intelligent. You have letters after your name. So what I suggest, ladies and gentlemen, is make up letters and put them on business cards after your name, and people will, like, respect you. They'll go, oh, that person over there, she's a POPT. Oh, she is. I've never met a POPT. She is one. It says it right here on her card. She's a POPT. Oh, wow. I can't believe it. I can't believe I ran into one. It makes you sound immediately intelligent and accomplished. Everybody should have some letters after their name. After my name, it says IDDAFT. Yeah, I am an IDDAFT. It says it on my business cards. Yes, IDDAFT. I don't do a fucking thing. That's what the letters mean. But no one would ever ask.
If someone said, Ron, what does IDDAFT mean? I'd say, well, I don't think you... just don't answer them. Just laugh. Like, it's you're asking me what that means? That is, like, beneath me. Or I could be Ron Van Dam, OMG. You're an OMG? Yes, yes. I look at women's uteruses all day. I am an OMG. I am an official, I am licensed as an OMG. I don't know how I do it, but I do. And it's grueling, but I am an OMG. Yes. Wow. What does that stand for? I know some people who are named after their father. And that's endearing. George Foreman apparently has a lot of children. I think he makes them in that little grill thing. He just stamps them out, man. Doesn't even need the woman. He just stamps out those babies in that Foreman grill. But George Foreman, to my understanding, has named all his children George Foreman. There's George Foreman the first, George Foreman the second, George Foreman the third, George Foreman the fourth, George Foreman the ADDAFT, George Foreman the OMG. They're all George Foreman. Even the girls are Georgette Foreman or Georgia Foreman. There's just a lot of fucking Foremans walking around. And yes, it's true, when it's time for dinner, Mrs. Foreman calls George, and they all show up at once. It's just easier. Or she could be specific and go, dinner time, George, 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 George. Hey, where's George? George, 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 and George, 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 George. Wonderful day. I wish you peace, George. And you, George. 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 George.
Whatever.